Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Means a lot. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Nats are off. They're coming back home to kick off a homestand tomorrow, which means we got an extra long 4.5 hours for you today. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Cundori & Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney if need be as well. Schedule a free consultation. Their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com will take care of you. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Tickets today, 55 minutes from now, 4 o'clock, when we give you a Beltway Blitz. Jason Aldean at Jiffy Lube Live.
Ooh.
You know people want those Jason
Aldean.
People want
that.
That's a party, man.
That's a good vibe. So the Nats don't play until tomorrow because they're coming back from Philly. I think the ball that James Wood hit should get there just before they get back into town.
The first ball he's pulled in the air.
He pulled it with some authority, Grant.
Fair. Yeah. In the major leagues.
Yeah, where'd it go?
Took almost 40 games. And then it went 4,000 feet.
Across the old Delaware. I mean, that ball was ripped.
I believe StatCast had it at 417. If that ball only went 417, I'll eat my phone.
I thought they must have meant 471. Like, somebody misprinted something.
Just a tank, bro. God, I love James Wood. I can't stop watching the Nats, as terrible as they are, getting their teeth kicked in by the Phillies. Because James Wood's always going to bat in the next 20 minutes or so. Like, he's always coming. The lineup's going to find him soon. Sometimes it takes a little longer than you want because Davey's filling out the lineup and he's fifth or sixth. But occasionally he's going to bat. 284 average, 831 OPS for the 21-year-old. This was the call as heard. Home run number 5, first to the pool side for the 6-foot, 7-inch specimen yesterday.
It swung on, hit a mile high to deep right center field. Way back, going, and long gone, goodbye. There it is, bang, zoom, the first home run pulled by James Wood of the major leagues over the wall in right center field.
Charlie killed that ball. Let's go, Chucko.
Oh, my, Charlie?
Charlie's on it. He is locked in, waiting for that pulled home run, and that's a no-doubter. That's a good feeling when you're calling play-by-play. It's not a high fly ball. It's carrying. This could be. It might be. No, that is off the bat. Holy shnikes. Which ballpark will it land?
You break out the A call, not the diddy, and it's gone. Like that, you know what I mean?
At the wall. Did he catch it? No. That is a which fan is getting smoked in the face.
Yeah, which fan in the upper deck got out of the way?
Is Clary back from Maine and going to turn his ass into the baseball?
Turn his buttocks.
In the second deck, because that ball was utterly annihilated. I was wearing my James Wood t-shirt. I have my Cruz Wood 24 shirt on. And like on weekends, if we're just around the house, I'll just throw on a t-shirt. I'll just have like a rotation couple.
Yeah.
And I'll have like gym shorts or something. Like, so Saturday and Sunday, both days, I think I just threw the shirt on around the house doing whatever I'm doing. And I walk out of my bedroom yesterday afternoon and my daughter goes, "Dad, why are you wearing that shirt again?" And I said, "What are you talking about?"
With disdain.
Exactly. I said, yeah. What are you talking about? She said, "You just wore that shirt." And I said, "Okay." And she's like, "You shouldn't wear shirts, the same shirt over and over." And I was like, first of all, way too much attitude for you at 5 years old. Let's just start with that. Way too much judging dad in his homeland. This is my comfort zone.
That's tough. She's already embarrassed by you at 5. That's so tough.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
It's just happening.
It doesn't get better from here.
By the way, she's so old now.
Yeah.
Today, I took her to get her haircut. We all went for our back-to-school haircuts. Mm-hmm. We all, as if I got one.
Yeah, you did too.
No one needed a haircut more than me. Asked me if I got my haircut.
Did you?
Not yet.
Oh.
So we got our back-to-school haircuts. She wanted bangs and showed a picture of Taylor Swift, the lady cutting her hair. Like, it is so over.
Whoa.
It is just over for
Whoa.
Me. She's like, yeah, I want a Taylor Swift haircut. Here's the picture. And I'm like...
There's a lot to unpack there.
There's it's happening. Right in front of our eyes. She's only five. It is happening. Kindergarten, next stop.
That's big time.
Yeah.
That is big time.
Anyway, Jaden Daniels is the starting quarterback, Danny.
Also big time.
So there's a lot to talk about from a preseason standpoint. I will let you go first on what you saw from the Commanders, Daniels' first team offense against the Dolphins.
It just looks right when he has the football, right? There's a calm to his demeanor. There's an effortlessness with his release. The accuracy is clearly there. Listen, this is all clean pockets. This has all been sort of, things that have been by design. This has been pretty simple stuff. Nobody's, on their fifth or sixth read, finding somebody who's, plastered and then breaking off or doing anything extra. But there's a command that he seems to have that doesn't look like a rookie. Doesn't look like a guy that's, fresh in the league. It looks like someone that's got a lot more experience. And I guess he does. He played in college for long enough, and that, Heisman Trophy campaign last year was incredible, but this is kind of what you expected, right? There's a glide that he has when he runs too. Like, so other guys are like Lamar Jackson, super fast, right? But he looks fast. Daniels kind of has that James Wood thing going. Someone who's that tall doesn't look like he's at full speed, but he is. Nobody's catching up with him, right?
We haven't seen him open it up yet either. I mean, he has not truly hit the NOS button yet when he's running in the open field, because that's a thing of beauty too. A couple of things. Number one, I continue to be surprised, happy with, but surprised, with how much Cliff Kingsbury is showing in terms of concepts and philosophy in this preseason. We have seen now true read option where Jaden Daniels keeps the football. We saw it twice, including on that 13-yard carry around the right edge, going right to left across your TV screen in the first quarter against the Dolphins. I'm a little bit surprised by that. I didn't think we'd see the true read option from Daniels, but maybe they wanted to give him some looks and some decisions to make so they could kind of go over those in the film room. The amount of quick game I am in love with, the amount of throws being made that are predetermined before the snap. I think almost every single throw Daniels has made in this preseason has been a throw predetermined before the snap. There might be one or two if I went back that I'm not thinking of right now. I think he's 12 of 15 overall. He's been immensely accurate, where the initial read wasn't there and he just flipped his hips and threw to the other guy on the other out route on the other side of the field or whatever. But I think top of my head, every throw he's made has been, like, you could have called that in the huddle. Here's what we're doing. Because it's quick, balls out, it's very fast. And that's a really good thing that he's been decisive. I think the key to his game and what I saw in practices that had me excited, what everyone's now seeing, including me and you in these games, it's how accurate he is.
Mm-hmm.
He can spin it, and he's been on the money. Not just accuracy, ball placement.
Mm-hmm.
Ball placement, to me, is a significant thing, big part of the game, because that's now the ability to allow you to make a play after the catch. When Terry McLaurin caught that out route down on the near sideline and then
makes
kept
the guy
going
miss. Yeah.
With the motor upfield, you're thrown into an area where you can kind of be shifty there. And he has been awesome in that regard with ball placement. So I love that. 15 preseason dropbacks. But while I hope this is going to be the way that they operate their offense when the season starts, I'm just a little surprised they've shown the no huddle so much. They've shown the tempo. Some of the stuff you'd imagine they're going to major in. When I covered this team with Shanahan and Robert Griffin in 2012, they didn't show anything they wanted to do come September. So I have to wonder, is this just all the stuff we expected them to run that they're showing, and there's actually going to be a whole nother series of looks when the season starts? Or are they just saying, screw it, everyone knows what's coming, let's make sure we run it better than
everybody
else?
It's something I've wondered about, because I'm sitting there going, they're doing this no-huddle thing again, which I'm all in favor of, by the way. I wish these offenses, especially here in Washington, embraced it more. Because it doesn't mean you have to go with 30 seconds left on the play clock. You could still take your full 40. You can use the time, but you don't let people sub.
You're not leaving the field,
exactly.
Fat boy.
Love it.
Out of shape, out of breath, defensive tackle, you're staying on the field.
You dictate.
I always tell the story of Kyle designing his first 25 plays that he called. Not even the script, but the actual plays that he called against the Texans at the peak of Vince Wilfork's powers, he called package after package so that Wilfork had to go on the field, off the field, on the field, off the field. And his idea was, he's going to kick our you-know-whats in the early part of the game. He's just better than our interior. We're not big enough to hold up. But by the end of the game, if he's got to run on and off because he's not in against this type of set, group.
Different sub package, yeah.
And that's what he did. For 25 straight plays, he just had to sprint back and forth from the sideline. And by the end of the game, he's on the bench getting oxygen. But that's kind of brilliant 500-level stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah. So I part of me also wonders, is this something to make defense? Now you got to prepare for that. Now you have to do something else. We'll show it. We'll do it eventually. But just so you know, we got this. Just so you know, we have tempo in our back pocket. Just so you know, we've got rate option. Just so you know, Terry McCorn is only lined up on the left-hand side pretty much every snap he's been in the game. Will he be in motion now? And you know, when the season starts, will he go to the right?
I think that's why the Chiefs ran that behind the back play, which was a design play. I don't know if you saw it this weekend.
I did, yeah.
Mahomes basically a basketball pass behind his back to Kelce. You can see the way Kelce was looping around with him. That was all designed, and they made a big joke of it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just did that because now it's just one more thing that you've seen that you got to go. All right, on short yardage,
gotta
Mahomes
prepare for that.
Starts
yeah.
moving this way, and they'll have other stuff off of it. Where Mahomes will start kind of bootlegging to the right. Kelce will be coming with him. And some receiver in the slot to the right will come back the other way for a toss.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, here's the behind-the-back pass. They're just showing you things that you have to add to the file. And if that's the idea for Kingsbury, I love it.
And I'm wondering that. I don't know. Obviously, he's not going to shoot up a flare gun or like wear a sign that says, I'm making defenses prepare for this. It may just be what they do. I mean, who knows what the right way to do it is. If anybody had like a 100% formula, it would just be what you did. But my gut is more towards they can't be showing exactly what they're going to do in week one, right? I mean, they couldn't possibly be doing that. And yet, here we are. We've seen more than your average bear. And it's not quite Spurrier or Osaka, but it's closer to that than it is Shanahan.
There's obviously going to be wrinkles and things off of a lot of what we've seen, but I think this will be their ideal offense until someone makes you do something else. Let's line up and get the ball to Jaden Daniels' hand. One of the issues, just from a statistical standpoint, and there weren't many of them, but one of those red flag areas in college as a prospect, nobody's perfect, was the amount of percentages of pressures that became sacks. When he holds the ball, he can run into oncoming defenders. You know, he turns pressures into sacks, basically. Well, you can mitigate that if he doesn't hold the ball. Now, what you're seeing in the preseason is not sustainable in this sense. Josh Norris was tweeting about this today from Underdog Fantasy. Daniel's time to throw on his 15 preseason pass attempts is 1.91 seconds. Quickest in the NFL last year was 2.36. Daniel's air yards per attempt, 5.5. Shortest in the NFL last year, 5.7. He says, plenty of focus on ball out quick, RPOs. We haven't seen a real dropback game yet. And that's kind of been my observation, too. I'd love it if you could do this for 17 games. Obviously, you can't. Eventually, there's going to have to be a more traditional drop back element to this that we just haven't seen with in breakers and some stuff in the middle of the field, and that's going to have to come. Almost all the throws have been outside, which was his bread and butter in college, and we saw those quick outs. Mm-hmm. We've seen the deep shot to Diami. He has thrown the one ball, pushed it down the field, but for the most part, if you look at his average depth of target and how quickly the balls come out, it's just a lot of stuff that was kind of designed before the snap for the ball to get out into space. And it's how I would call an offense, to be clear. I think it's awesome. But we just haven't seen the stuff that you actually can't avoid that's going to make the difference between right. whether he's really good or not, the offense is really good or not. And so while I am very happy with how he looks, I think it's been an excellent first couple preseason games and an August debut. I want all these RPOs. I want the read option. I want all the stuff that they've got. I mean, there's been one attempt that came after 2.5 seconds of holding the football in two games for him. And that was, he ultimately checked it down on a 3rd and a mile. And he just made the right read. It was like, let's get off the field and live to fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
No harm, no foul. But one time he's held the ball for 2.5 seconds. And so we just have not seen that part of the game yet, which was really the part that matters the most to a lot of people as to how much he'll grow from college.
And I wanted to jump on one thing you said, because I agree. This is how I would do offense. Right? Like my philosophy would be, and again, I'm not qualified to do anything, but my philosophy would be body blows. the 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards at a time, positive plays, just the quick stuff, so that you finally start drawing defenses up because they get tired of protecting their gut. They get tired of, God, another one, another, you know, second and six, another second and five. They get sick of it, and that's where your double moves come in. That's where your stutter go is. That's where your hitch and go is. That's where your, you know, maybe even your four verts. Whatever you want to do off of that stuff, you get people tired of having to cover up that part. That's when you go for the knockout blow. That's when you go for the Tyson uppercut. So that's what I would do, right? Whether that's running the ball, whether it's quick passes to Eckler, quick to Sinnott, quick to, you saw one to Bates over the middle because everything was looking right and Bates just sort of leaked out, was right over the middle of the field for 7-8 yards, made a nice play. That's the kind of stuff I would do until defenses got sick of it, and then I would kind of wait and try to time my shots. I'm a big believer in that, and I think you've seen the first part of that. Now the phase two part happens because you're going to get, there's going to be a 3rd and 12 that you have to get at some point, right? Can you do that? Not many teams are great at it, but can you be good enough, maybe better than average? That's going to determine a lot.
I think you have to be really excited right now, just based on what we've seen, and maybe more importantly, what we've heard. Because it's always been my take, whatever percentages you want to assign are fine. I would probably say 75-25. But someone could tell me it's 80-20 or 70-30 or 60-40, whatever. I think that the non-on-the-field throwing, running, physical stuff is actually more important as a prerequisite to being a NFL quarterback. Meaning the study that you put in, the film that you watch, the work that you're willing to do. How early you're getting there and late you're leaving and indoctrinating yourself to your teammates as a leader. You can't act like a corner or a receiver or a kicker. It's just a different thing at quarterback. And a lot of the guys that have come, I ran through the list of the starters here year by year who have come and gone, especially the young ones, they have not checked those boxes, and Jaden Daniels clearly is right now. That's number one reason to be excited. Then you've got, oh, by the way, last year's Heisman Trophy winner, who went 1-2 for a reason, who's the fastest quarterback that's come out in years as a ball carrier, and who can clearly spin it and is very, very accurate, short and intermediate, and has a great long ball. So there's tons of things to like here. I want to hear from you guys next at 800-636-1067. He looks very comfortable. How do you feel about Daniels coming out of preseason game two, if in fact that's the last time we see him? We should also get into some of the other big storylines in that game. The kicking situation is a fiasco.
Yeah.
John Dotson wasn't able to do anything to separate himself and help himself necessarily on the wide receiver depth chart. We should talk about the defensive side of the ball as well, where the corner position still seems like an area where they need to pay some attention ahead of week one. You're listening to G&D on the Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the practice before we left to go down to Miami was the best one I had seen from him on the Tuesday prior to us leaving that Wednesday. The command of it, the accuracy, the details of it, that was one of the best practices I'd seen him have, was the best practice I had seen him have. And so I think that was more in line with, you know, who he is, what he does, the checks, the calls, the communication, the delivery of the ball. He was just really on point. So it was just cool to see all of that, you know, come to life.
Jaden Daniels, 10 of 12 for 78 yards. Ball came out quickly around the line of scrimmage. He was exceptionally accurate. Wanted to get your thoughts on the rookie quarterback. You can call us at 800-636-1067. He was officially named the starter today by Dan Quinn out in Ashburn. Shane is in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane?
Hey, Commander Danny. Grant, how y'all doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
Hey, look, was it a surprise? I mean, he's the number two pick in the draft. Of course he's going to start. I mean, regardless of what, how he played, they're going to put him out there. It's just what it is. It's a new era now. But I'm excited. I think he played well. I give him an A for what I've seen when he's out there. The kid's got the pocket poise. He's accurate right now, which is very rare for these young kids coming out of college, is accuracy. They all can throw it from here to the moon. It's just, can they hit the moon? But I think the corners right now are, like, I was watching that game. I think, you know, if you watch that game, the corners didn't look too good. Our DBs looked like need some help out there. St. Juice is, I think he's struggling out there. So, I mean, it's no surprise that Daniel's going to start. I think he's going to have a hell of a rookie year. I do think he's going to win a rookie of the year now. But, you know, it's that offensive line. He goes as that offensive line goes. And that's the story of but how about that list that you just read off, Grant? That's a horrible list, man.
It's not a good list. It's not good.
It's not that fun.
It's not good.
I'll tell you that. Thank you for the call, as always, brother. He's talking about and referencing the starting quarterbacks in week one year by year since 2017. It's 8 straight years with a different QB, and hopefully we've reached the end of the road there. As far as the offensive line, Andrew Wiley struggled, I thought, at right tackle, couple of penalties. We're used to that. Early last season especially, it was difficult for him making a transition to D.C. That just looks like another Rivera miss. And I think that was a Bieniemy-endorsed signing more than it was somebody Rivera or the front office were huge on. But Bieniemy came over from Kansas City. They needed a starting tackle. He probably stood on the table for a guy that had started in the Super Bowl and played for the Chiefs. And there he was at right tackle, where he has struggled. But I thought, him aside, Allegretti played really well. They had back-to-back 11-yard runs where Allegretti had huge blocks for Brian Robinson. Biadasz wasn't necessarily noticeable, which on the interior of the offensive line is a decent thing. You know, we all feel good about Sam Cosmi. The question with him is just, does he get an extension or not before mm-hmm. the season kicks off? And then at left tackle, Cornelius Lucas played. Still have not seen the debut of Brandon Coleman. Quinn today saying he's going to get back on the practice field later this week. Hopefully we get to see him against the Patriots. If we don't, he was quoted as saying that he'd like Brandon Coleman to play before the regular season if he were to end up being a starting left tackle, but he doesn't necessarily have to see him to have confidence that he could start. So I would say that's still up for grabs, left tackle spot.
Absolutely.
Lucas versus Coleman, even though Coleman hadn't been able to play.
It's unsettled. I mean, the receiver spot's unsettled. I would say corner. You mentioned tackle.
I don't know how anyone could feel really good about corner. Because, forget how anyone's played. Everyone wants to zero in on one play at a position where if you play 70 and you have one or two bad ones, you know, it's easy to be a punching bag. Whether it's Forbes, who had gave up the touchdown 2 weeks ago, or now this past week with Benjamin St. Juste. Just look at the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Just let the football card...
Let it wash over you.
stats do the talking for you. The number one is St. Juste, who I think some of us like and think has some promise, and he looks like he's designed in a lab to be coached by Quinn and Witt with his length and his physicality. But nothing about his career to this point makes you think he should be a number one cornerback in a pass-first league.
Not at all. Yeah, it's an under-talented group. And they've left a couple of... Because what's so funny to me... Funny is not the right word. What's intriguing to me about this is this front office, who, again, I think is smart, when they saw a fire, they go, bring the hose, shoot the water immediately. Linebacker, the instant they could change it. Oh, my God, we're bringing in Wagner. We're bringing in Frankie Louvu. A major upgrade in talent at that spot. Went and got Austin Eckler right away. We need that pass-catching running back. Upgraded to tight end. Two sets of resource allocations to Zach Ertz, the veteran, and Ben Sinnott, the rookie. When they saw an issue, they solved it. And there are these three major marquee spots where they go, let's see what happens. Just odd to me. And again, if they were in the Giants spot, and I think the Giants are going to be bad, but the Giants don't have a ton of cap space or up against it or something. If you were, you know, brushing up against that ceiling and you're restructuring players under contract just to try to find something to do and your window was open, I'd get it. But they're not. They had all the draft resources, all of the salary cap space in free agency, and they just kind of said, we're fine. We're going to get some guys that Dan Quinn knew from the practice squad in Dallas, and that's it.
Maybe, and I don't know, but maybe they just decided we're not going to fix everything this year.
I think they decided that for sure.
Because I think there is some logic to, if we fix everything this year, then a lot of contracts are coming up at the same time. And then the way that you structure these deals, whether you're back or front-loading them, you're paying a lot of guys in the same years at the same time. So maybe their thinking was, to fix this roster, we have to stagger it. So what are the most important things this year, or maybe it wasn't even that, the most available things this year?
See, that's where I wanted to go to, because I think it has to be availability.
Exactly.
Because to me, three of the four most important positions right now probably on the team aren't very good. One is quarterback. They upgraded it.
Agreed. I think two things are true. I think, one, they probably like the group a little more than you do at a couple of those spots.
Oh, for sure.
And then I do, which is fine. The other one is, I think you're right. Like, if there was a Frankie Louvu that they evaluated and could land at corner, maybe they break the bank and go do that. Instead, the Frankie Louvu was a linebacker.
Was actually Frankie Louvu.
That they were able to get. Same thing at tight end. Like, if there was a guy that they didn't spend a lot there, they got Zach Ertz on the cheap, and they took a second-round player that they liked, who's probably a little bit of a project but has looked really good in the preseason. It's not like they made major splash acquisitions at that position. So I think it was more a matter of, what can we fix this year based on the market, and what are we going to wait till next year to fix? But we've talked about this a lot, whether it's receiver, which has kind of become your baby to talk about, or corner, which I would say is more my largest concern. In a league where you're playing Philly, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are coming to town, man. The Cowboys really only have the one special player in CeeDee Lamb, which is nice, but Malik Nabers is going to be on the other side. I need a true, legitimate number one corner. Do they have that? And unless BSJ or somebody else makes a massive leap this year, they don't. Now, it's the one position where the coaching staff should be able to make guys a ton better than they were last year, based on A, how bad the coaching was last year, and B, that's probably the position on any team that this Dan Quinn-led staff is probably the best at addressing.
Track record there, yeah.
But there's still only so much filet mignon capable with hamburger.
You're not turning fives into tens. They're into sixes now. You know?
So Michael Davis, Tariq Castro-Fields, James Pierre, Nick Whiteside, all the way to, you know, Noah Igbinoghene, like whoever we're talking about, there is a lot being asked of corners, none of whom have long track records of being really, really good starters. So I think that's probably a good point from Shane. The biggest area of concern on the team right now should be kicker, but the reason I don't think we need to spend a lot of oxygen on that at this moment is I assume that they already know what they're doing. And what I mean by that is maybe they don't know who they're signing. If it's Greg Joseph who loses the camp battle for the Packers, or if it's another guy who loses a camp battle for Jacksonville. But they have to already know Riley Patterson is not the answer, and someone who gets cut elsewhere is. I don't like going into the season with a shaky kicking situation, but the moment the Brandon McManus news broke and you released him after those allegations because he wasn't forthright with you, didn't come and tell you what was going on in his life, you opened the revolving kicking door. And sometimes that works out okay. Sometimes you land a kicker, but we've been here before. It also could be a three-kicker season where guys are missing kicks all year and Chris Blewett is blowing it. Like, we have done that, too.
We've done that dance.
And we certainly saw it on Saturday night with two more missed kicks. Now, three misses in two games for Patterson, who's the better of the kickers they had in camp because they cut the other guy.
Yeah. There's a comfort that they seem to have about it, knowing that which gives me at least some, I guess, comfort of my own, meaning this will get solved, it'll be fine. And whether it's Riley Patterson, who, you know, Dan Quinn did the pretty awesome coaching job of, you know, putting his arm around, doing a proud papa type figure and saying, we believe in you, there's going to be other kicks, and it's going
to
be fine.
That was
good
cool
work
to see,
there,
by the way.
That was neat.
That's in-game coaching. We've not seen that in a while. Normally, you just cross your arms and you watch football from the sideline, and you're very stoic, and they could make a statue of you because you just stand here like this.
And you don't talk to your team at halftime?
You never address anyone at any point, and you try not to speak. That's what we're used to. Mm-hmm. So to see Dan Quinn get in some ear holes and try to pump some guys up, I actually liked that a lot.
I'm all for it. But you know, so the fact that they're not doing this thing that I would do, I can't handle it. When I see I keep using this fire analogy. When I see a burning, raging fire, my instinct is to put it out. It's to try to solve it immediately. They're like,
did you watch Backdraft this weekend?
I didn't.
You go, we go.
Then which Baldwin is it at the end with like his like smirky Baldwin face? So like now he's the veteran. He's like, you're doing it wrong.
Is it not Alec Baldwin?
No, it's one of the other
Stephen
Baldwins.
Stephen Baldwin.
Could be Billy. I honestly don't know.
I think it's.
I'm not even doing a bit.
I don't either.
I don't know which Baldwin
is. Let's say it's Billy Baldwin.
Billy. But anyway, use the fire analogy.
Remember Ox? For some reason, some guy's name is Ox.
I do now. I see the burning. I got to do something. I would have every UFL, every XFL, every arena league, every like local soccer talent, like constant revolving door at the facility until someone shows me they can kick the stupid thing through the uprights.
At receiver, Deami Brown helped himself again.
I thought so.
If really you're looking for a boundary starter opposite McLaurin out wide, I don't know how Brown isn't in the front running, you know, the passenger seat in that quest right now. Opening drive, three catches for 19 yards on three targets. Nothing spectacular, but did a really nice job on a wide receiver screen. He cut up field. Then he had a couple of like quick out routes that he caught. And him and Daniels were clearly on a pretty good accord, good page. In fact, Daniels was humming. He was 5 for 5, and then his sixth pass was targeted for Dotson and was incomplete. And John didn't do anything wrong. He ran the same out route that Terry and McLaurin and De'Ami Brown had been running the entire drive, and Daniels just missed him out wide. But it's just kind of how things have gone for him that, you know, De'Ami reception, De'Ami reception, Terry reception.
One De'Ami catch reception. For 3 yards. It's
and then, oh, incomplete intended receiver Jahan Dotson.
Now, if Terry McLaurin had gone one catch for 3 yards, nobody cares, and nobody should care. It's a preseason game. I don't need – 17's got enough pelts on the wall. But given the circumstance and the context of what we've seen the last couple of weeks, right, preseason game number one, Jahan Dotson is in almost a halftime, you know, running routes and trying to make some plays. Here, it's one catch for 3 yards while other guys are doing a bit more right around the same time. Luke McCaffrey had a couple of nice catches in traffic, I thought. De'Ami Brown to start the game in the first half with the ones. It's just, it's not looking like this is a person that's in favor right now. Doesn't mean it's over. Doesn't mean we're slamming the gavel, but it just, it's hard not to notice, right, that how uninvolved he is.
Only 2 catches for him. He played 23 snaps, which if you compare him to, like, just the other receivers in the room, De'Ami Brown is an example. He played a little bit more than those guys did, but 2 targets on the 23 snaps. Jaden Daniels was out there for 18. So was McLaurin. So that's like your true, you know, starting wide receivers. De'Ami Brown only was out there for 9 snaps, actually. Yeah.
So they got his work.
Got him in.
You did enough, number two.
He caught 3 balls on 3 targets, you know, 33% of his plays, and then he was out of the game. But, yeah, Dotson's still looking for his preseason moment. I think it'll be really telling to see if he plays Saturday night.
Agreed.
Or Sunday night now against the Patriots at home. Because if, like, De'Ami Brown, as an example, doesn't play, and Jahan Dotson were to, that would be significant.
Yeah.
I also really liked what I saw from Luke McCaffrey. Made a great contested catch, basically like a seam route, kind of cutting a little bit of an in-breaker. But
there wasn't a ton of space there because he couldn't. I don't have a better way to explain this. He couldn't go 90 degrees because there's defenders waiting.
Yeah, he's 6'2".
You have to make it skinny there.
He just box a guy out and go up and get a rebound.
Yeah, there's not much room to fit that ball in. There's not much room for him. And he made a tough contested catch, took a shot. I went, okay, I see you, young man. That was good.
Good ball from Driscoll, who had a 40-plus yard run as well. Second best quarterback on the team, I bet. But he'll be the third stringer if he makes it, I guess.
Yeah.
I would keep him, though. He's done enough.
I would, too. Again, it's you know, a kind of a slightly watered-down version of the skill set of the other two guys, but veteran, good dude to have around. Jaden Daniels shouted him out in his press conference as well.
Double play is next on G&D. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing today at 4. That's when we've got those Jason Aldean tickets. In 20 minutes, we'll talk Nationals, Commanders, NFL in that segment right here on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our double play is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Each and every day right here at 345, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Boys, we did it. First day of school. We are back. We are back! No driving to 7 different places, 4 camps, 3 play dates, and oh, I thought we were going to the pool later. Well, let me get my stuff. Did you put my water in your bag? Go to school, stay there for so many hours, and come home at a similar time most days. We got crazy activities like everybody else does. You know, everybody's kids are overscheduled. I understand. We got all the sports. They're starting in a few weeks. That's school. You need that school. You walk to the school. Bye, Freddie. Well, oh, yeah, I'll miss you too, buddy. Have a great day. Get in the school building. And stay there. I'll see you in June. Go. Get your ass in there.
See you in
June. Love
you,
pal. Love you, buddy. You're my guy. But get in that building. And you stay in that building. Yes. We are back. We did it.
So August 19th is way too early to be at school. I think we can all agree. What an outrage that is.
Mm-mm.
School should start on the Tuesday after Labor Day. That's how that should go. Labor Day weekend happens.
Yep.
Labor Day is a Monday. First Monday in September, Tuesday, first day of school, and then Sunday after that, first day of the NFL season. That's how Dad did it. That's how I'm going to do it, right? There's just no reason to be in school on August 19th. Now, mind you, my niece and nephew in King George County in Virginia, they went back last week.
Oh, man.
Last week.
That's too early.
It's like August 12th or something stupid like that. My daughter's first day of school is Wednesday. Which is also stupid.
That's weird.
It's all dumb.
Let's just do it.
Does it happen in August? Then it's too early. Here's how the summer should work. July and August, unequivocally summer. September, school time. So I can't stand the going back early, but I will say that I'm very happy for you. Because I know for you, this is really just about your kids not being at your house.
That's correct. My new, I've been sort of simmering this hot take on the stove for years.
Year-round school?
I don't know that I'm fully ready to drop it on you, but I think I'm prepared. They need to be in school the whole time.
Oh, you want 12 months?
Yeah. And
do you ever want to see them? Like, should they come home at night or just stay there overnight?
They need to be in school.
Have you thought about like a boarding situation where you just send them away for months on end?
First of all, we've talked about it. Once one of them's old enough, we'll see. But the point of the dude's story is, here's what I would do. This would be my system, old Randy Duye system. Your summer isn't like your regular school. The regular school, they're determined to do things that don't really help you later on, right? Like I haven't been using that much geometry. In my current role, I haven't done as much geology as I thought maybe I would upon graduating. I haven't had to like write critical essays about Shakespeare in some time. Weird, I know, but I had to do all that stuff to graduate just like everyone else did. Here's what we're doing in my summer classes. Mortgages. Balance your checkbook. Mm. Finances. How do I refinance a home? Do I want an ARM loan? We're doing a real, actual, this is what's going to happen in your life. Education.
Your second grader probably doesn't need that just yet, but there's probably a grade in high school.
There's something that the second grader could do. For example, my first grader can't tie his shoes. It won't listen to me.
That seems like a Danny issue.
It is, but
you can get that done.
I can't solve it because it's a tantrum every time. They'd want to hear from me because I got to save my bullets.
You just want the teachers to handle
Please,
it.
Please. Well, I want a different adult. That's what helps. That's why you play youth sports. Well, that's why you do all these different things. You send them off to school. Like, the thing that's going to work, and as your kids start to get more and more in school age, that you're going to learn. When it's a no, I don't want it, I'll tell your teacher. And they straighten right up.
Mm.
That's the best bullet. That's Thor's hammer. That's Mjolnir right
there.
That's
interesting.
Right? That's what you do. You invoke the teacher's name, Miss or Mr., whomever. You say the name. I'll let them know that this happened. And, okay. That's the only thing that works. Because they don't respect you.
Mrs. McCrum.
There you go.
Okay.
Is that your teacher? Was that one of yours?
Just a lady from back in the day.
Oh, I got you.
Mrs. McCrum, Mr. Fernie, my second grade teacher. Okay. I kind of see where you're going. I want you to know I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah, no one can take my joy today.
I just do want school to start later.
I get that.
That's just always going to be how I feel. The other thing is, don't get too excited because there's a lot of days off coming up.
That's the thing.
I was talking to my buddy this weekend. We had a fun little gathering on a rooftop over at the wharf. It's basically like 4-day-a-week school for the majority of the first couple of months for kids,
mm-hmm.
with all the little holidays and days.
There's the day, the early dismissal days.
It is unrecognizably not really like I'm wading into waters now that I probably shouldn't because this isn't political. I don't know which side I'm offending or bothering, but just know whatever you think I agree with. Whatever your opinion is also mine.
Whatever I'm supposed to be opposed to, I am.
I am totally opposed to the same thing you guys are.
I like what you like, and I find it outrageous or acceptable.
What is the priority? Like, what do we care about? How much is education and just having kids in classrooms still the thing that matters the most? Because damn if there ain't a lot of days off on that calendar. You look at it and you're like, all right, so this Thursday they're out, next Friday they're out, then Tuesday they're out, then the Wednesday after that they're... I mean, they're just... Where was that for me?
Well, that's why...
Yeah. It was Monday through Friday every week. You could put it in Sharpie. We are not leaving the classroom until June. You got a Christmas break. You got a spring break.
Spring break.
You got those two. Other than that, what day is it? Is it a Monday through Friday? You're going to be in school. Now it's like work day this and this thing that. And I'm serious. There's like 9 days off in the first four weeks of school.
And that's why they start so early. That's the comeback. That's the answer.
Okay.
And so now I wouldn't do that.
Idea. Yeah. Start later and be in the classroom learning. Do the thing where you're learning from Monday to Friday.
I'm in.
Didn't that work in the past? Isn't that how we used to do it? It seemed like it was an effective way of doing it.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know here. And again, I want to just make sure that the listeners understand. The thing that I should agree with, I do.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify that as well.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
on my own behalf.
Yeah, because like, I feel like people don't understand your point.
Yeah, I think people are a little bit upset, and so am I, with what I just... I also am bothered by the same part that you are.
The thing that I'm that you're opposed to, so am I.
Exactly right.
Oh, I can't believe it!
And the thing that you think that's a little bit of a hot take? Me too!
I think it too.
Weirdly.
Dude, I see what you're talking about.
Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny, the Nats, the NFL, the Commanders on the Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our double play is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Each and every day right here at 345, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Boys, we did it. First day of school. We are back. We are back. No driving to 7 different places, 4 camps, 3 play dates, and oh, I thought we were going to the pool later. Well, let me get my stuff. Did you put my water in your bag? Go to school, stay there for so many hours, and come home at a similar time most days. We got crazy activities like everybody else does. You know, everybody's kids are overscheduled. I understand. We got all the sports. They're starting in a few weeks. That's school. You need that school. You walk to the school. Bye, Freddy. Well, oh, yeah, I'll miss you too, buddy. Have a great day. Get in the school building and stay there. I'll see you in June. Go. Get your ass in there.
See you
in Love June. You, pal. Love you, buddy. You're my guy, but get in that building, and you stay in that building. Yes.
You
we are
it.
Back. We did it.
So August 19th is way too early to be at school. I think we can all agree. What an outrage that is.
Mm-mm.
School should start on the Tuesday after Labor Day. That's how that should go. Labor Day weekend happens.
Yep.
Labor Day is a Monday, first Monday in September. Tuesday, first day of school. And then Sunday after that, first day of the NFL season. That's how Dad did it. That's how I'm going to do it. Right? There's just no reason to be in school on August 19th. Now, mind you, my niece and nephew in King George County in Virginia, they went back last week.
Oh, man.
Last week.
That's
like,
too early.
It's like August 12th or something stupid like that. My daughter's first day of school is Wednesday, which is also stupid.
That's weird.
It's all dumb.
Let's just do it.
Does it happen in August? Then it's too early. Here's how the summer should work. July and August, unequivocally summer. September, school time. So I can't stand the going back early, but I will say that I'm very happy for you. Because
yeah.
I know for you, this is really just about your kids not being at your house.
That's correct. My new, I've been sort of simmering this hot take on the stove for years.
Year-round school?
I don't know that I'm fully ready to drop it on you, but I think I'm prepared. They need to be in school the whole time.
Oh, you want 12 months.
Yeah. And
Do you ever want to see them? Like, should they come home at night or just stay
there
overnight?
They need to be in school.
Have you thought about like a boarding situation where you just send them away for months on end?
First of all, we've talked about it. Once one of them's old enough, we'll see. But the point of the dude's story is, here's what I would do. This would be my system, old Randy Duye system. Your summer isn't like your regular school. The regular school, they're determined to do things that don't really help you later on, right? Like, I haven't been using that much geometry in my current role. I haven't done as much geology as I thought maybe I would upon graduating. I haven't had to, like, write critical essays about Shakespeare in some time. Weird, I know, but I had to do all that stuff to graduate just like everyone else did. Here's what we're doing in my summer classes. Mortgages. Balance your checkbook. Finances. How do I refinance a home? Do I want an ARM loan? We're doing a real, actual, this is what's going to happen in your life education.
Your second grader probably doesn't need that just yet, but there's probably a grade in high school.
There's something that the second grader could do. For example, my first grader can't tie his shoes. It won't listen to me.
That seems like a Danny issue.
It is. But
you can get that done.
I can't solve it because it's a tantrum every time. They don't want to hear from me because I got to save my bullets.
You just want the teachers to handle
it. Please. Well, I want a different adult. That's what helps. That's why you play youth sports. Well, that's why you do all these different things. You send them off to school. Like the thing that's going to work. And as your kids start to get more and more in school age, that you're going to learn. When it's a no, I don't want it. I'll tell your teacher. And they straighten right up. That's the best bullet. That's Thor's hammer. That's Mjolnir right
there.
That's
interesting.
Right? That's what you do. You invoke the teacher's name, Miss or Mr., whomever. You say the name. I'll let them know that this happened. And, okay. That's the only thing that works. Because they don't respect you.
Mrs. McCrum.
There you go.
Okay.
Is that your teacher? Was that one of yours?
Just a lady from back in the day.
Oh, I got you.
Mrs. McCrum. Mr. Fernie, my second grade teacher. Okay. I kind of see where you're going. I want you to know I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah, no one can take my joy today.
I just do want school to start later.
I get that.
That's just always going to be how I feel. The other thing is, don't get too excited because there's a lot of days off coming up.
That's the thing.
I was talking to my buddy this weekend. We had a fun little gathering on a rooftop over at the wharf. It's basically like 4-day-a-week school for the majority of the first couple of months for kids,
mm-hmm.
with all the little holidays and days.
There's the early dismissal days. Oh.
It is unrecognizably not really, like, I'm wading into waters now that I probably shouldn't, because this isn't political. I don't know which side I'm offending or bothering, but just know whatever you think I agree with, whatever your opinion is also mine.
Whatever I'm supposed to be opposed to, I am.
I am totally opposed to the same thing you guys are.
I like what you like, and I find it outrageous or acceptable.
What is the priority? Like, what do we care about? How much is education and just having kids in classrooms still the thing that matters the most? Because damn if there ain't a lot of days off on that calendar. You look at it and you're like, all right, so this Thursday they're out, next Friday they're out, then Tuesday they're out, then the Wednesday after that they're... I mean, there's just... Where was that for me?
Well, that,
when
but that's
school
why,
started,
yeah.
It was Monday through Friday every week. You could put it in Sharpie. We are not leaving the classroom until June. You got a Christmas break. You got a spring break.
Spring break.
You got those two. Other than that, what day is it? Is it a Monday through Friday? You're going to be in school. Now it's like work day this and this thing that. And I'm serious. There's like 9 days off in the first 4 weeks, 4 weeks of school.
And that's why they start so early. That's the comeback. That's the answer.
Okay.
And so now I wouldn't do that.
Idea.
Yeah.
Start later and be in the classroom learning. Do the thing where you're learning from Monday to Friday.
I'm in.
Didn't that work in the past? Isn't that how we used to do it? It seemed like it was an effective way of doing it.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know here. And again, I want to just make sure that the listeners understand the thing that I should agree with. I do.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify that as well.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
on my own behalf.
Yeah, because like, I feel like people don't understand your point.
Yeah, I think people are a little bit upset, and yeah. So am I with what I just. Also am bothered by the same part that you are.
The thing that I'm that you're opposed to. So am I.
Exactly right.
Oh, I can't believe it.
And the thing that you think that's a little bit of a hot take, me too.
I think it too.
Weirdly.
Dude, I see what you're talking about.
Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny, the Nats, the NFL, the Commanders on the Fan.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.